want this, Leslie. One Bob Elliott is home. He's sick, he has a cold. And when I saw him yesterday, I thought that he had a rather nasty type cold, and this morning it wore it out. Friends, Bob Elliott is sick. He has a cold. And before we go any further, I want to establish the fact that Bob isn't here because he has a cold, friend.
Where's Bob today?
Got a cold, Kent, I tell you. Yeah, I can come into work today. So I'm hanging by my thumbs for the next 29 minutes or so, and we hope that you'll all hang by your thumbs with us. We've arranged a swell program. Just a moment, gentlemen, please. All right. We haven't arranged anything, and it's pretty much hit. And it'll be exactly that, not even a miss. Not even a near miss. Oh, there's a lovely miss. How do you do, young, charming young lady? That's Mr. Britt's secretary, boys.
Yeah, that's young Britt Crow. Hey, Aunt, her name?
Is Veronica Lovett. And she hails from the beloved township of Thompson. And she commutes every day on the bus, up and down on the bus, every day, to and fro. Come in here, Rona. We call her Rona. Her real name is Veronica. Rona Fitzjoy. Rona, would you care to tell us today, first of all, your address in Thompson, so we can all write you both sides?
22 Sturdly Avenue.
Oh, it is not Sturdly Avenue, Rona. And Rona, you don't have to yell into the microphone. Just talk as though, well, just make like I'm Mr. Britt.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And just talk back in a natural tone voice. Rona, you, of course, have made your first movie. What is your second one going to be, and when are they going to start shooting?
We haven't decided yet.
But it is going to be a Western type, isn't it?
Yes, uh-huh.
And you're to portray the, what?
No, I'm
the school teacher.
No, I'm the heroine.
You're the heroine?
Mm-hmm.
Well, she's a heroine. Well, weenie time, Halloweeny, you'll be here. And that reminds me, somebody used to have a recipe for Halloweeny. Do you remember that? To serve at Halloween, you get a load of hot dogs and take out the inside and serve Halloweenies. Yeah, well, Rona, getting back to you, you gorgeous thing, what brings you up here today?
Well, I didn't have anything else to do, Reg.
You didn't have another thing to do? Is Mr. Britt listening, I wonder?
I hope not.
Well, I won't get you into trouble. Of course, Jim, I suppose, is practically through for the season. He and Red Marsden have put their two heads together and have put them in the frigid hair for the winter. And they won't be back, I suppose, until next spring, although Jim does have his sports show every evening here. And, of course, Jim does football.
Oh, yes, yeah, and basketball.
What games will Jim be doing next week, for instance? Did he give us a preview?
No, I wouldn't know, Ray.
What kind of a secretary is this? What song are you going to sing, Rona?
What would you like me to sing?
Do you know anything that's real romantic, too?
Oh, yes.
Do you really? Is it cleared? ASCAP cleared and music room cleared and all?
How about you singing?
Would you like me to sing?
Oh,
I'm glad she asked. That's just what I'll do. I'd love to live in love land with a girl like you, and every day a holiday with skies of baby blue, where roses bloom forever and sweethearts are always true. I'd love to live in love land with a girl like you. I'd love to live in love land with a girl like you, and every day a holiday with skies of baby blue, where roses bloom forever and and the lovely Rona Florek from Taunton, Massachusetts. Rona, it's been a real pleasure hanging by my thumbs with you this afternoon, and I only hope that on your return trip to Taunton aboard that 12 bus, that you'll have a good up and down ride back home. I always ran into this difficulty when I was reading in newspapers. No commercial? Oh, don't worry. Sit down, Paul. Don't worry about commercials. We have, We have Fatima Cigarette with the charming Basil Rathbone, who will read. We also have Abishan Bell, and, whoops. And then we have, of course, America's new thrill sensation, P.M. Mayhem. P.M. Mayhem. That doesn't help you. Does Wes Peabody help you?
Yeah. Oh, boy. That's yeah. The mystery show.
No, it isn't, kind. It's thrilling. Drum-da-dum-da-dum-da-dink type music. Huh? Oh, yes. Oh, that's right. Well, anyway, that, of course, is our third sponsor today, the West Peabody Speedway, located, unbelievably, in West Peabody. Excuse me, friend. As I was saying, though, riding a bus has always been a problem for me. Did you ever try to read a newspaper on a bus? How many times you read the same paragraph over and over and over, and, well, there's also other things body on an old bus. I just don't... Well, I won't say any more about them. I think buses are grand, in case any bus owners are listening in. Thank you, Jim. Jim brought Basil Rathbone. Basil, I wonder, would you come in here, Basil, and say a few words for us? Yes, ladies and gentlemen. Gives me a great deal of pleasure to present Basil Rathbone. Yep, here he is. Settling, of all things, cigarettes. Go ahead, Basil.
If you want a long cigarette, buy the best cigarette. Buy Fatima. First quality for 30 years. Fatima cigarettes.
For 30 years, Fatima cigarettes. Just think. Rona just made the observation that she hoped her mother was listening. Now, in that case, I hope she was too, Rona. I hope your boyfriend and all your girl acquaintances and everybody was listening except Mr. Britt. I certainly hope he wasn't listening for your sake. But good luck, Rona, and why don't you get down off your thumbs for the land's sake? The second selection will be sounds vocal. In other words, friends, it will be without a vocal. That's what sounds means. It also means sounds in sounds faint. Here now are Saint Sounds, who wrote the ever popular ballad Sterling. But now I think it's time for Ken Wilson, Bill Green, as they put their two collective type heads together and play the ever-popular danceable melody. What is it? Night Ride. Oh, boy. Thank you. ride? I didn't recognize it as such. No, that ain't right. That ain't right. That wasn't right, Night Ride. It was, that ain't right. Well, I'm not going to go into that anymore. It sounds too much like Abbott and Sturdley, for goodness sake. What was I going to say? Oh, yes, about the World Series and things like that. I'm going to, with the help of Red Marsden, bring Earl Torgerson. I'll try to out for the program someday soon. And Earl, I might mention, as you all know, led both teams in hitting during the past series. And Earl was the only fellow that didn't have a ghostwriter. He's the only one that should have had one, too. Eddie Stanky, of course, has a job for the winter. He's assuming the editorship of the New York Herald Tribune. Red Barrett is becoming associate editor of Time, Fortune, and Life magazine because of his journalistic experience during the series. Who else? Bob Feller. Jeff Heath. Sir Jeffrey Heath. He is becoming a consultant, I imagine, to John Hopkins. Where his leg will be down there for 3 or 4 weeks. Everybody looks at it. And Jeff, of course, is a very excellent writer, as was attested by his column. Now, who else wrote? Everybody had a ghostwriter in it. Billy Southworth. Manager Billy Southworth. He also has gone west, home to Sunbury, Ohio, where he will write editorials, I suppose, for the Columbus Dispatch or something. So everybody in baseball now has turned to journalism. And, for the whole winter season. But we're going to try and get Earl Torgerson up here and ask him a few questions. Ask him about that prize-hungry 19 he used to play with out in... ever tell you that story?
No.
Earl Torgerson, for a long time, of course he's only a young fella, couldn't have been for many years, he played for a team out in the West Coast, up in his native Washington, and he called them prize-hungry 9 because they were never paid. Earl Torgerson also had a picture on that team. He said that... one day they played on 2 feet of water, and that picture was so good, the ball didn't even get wet. Well, I don't know about that. But anyway, the World Series is over, and Gene Bearden isn't here, so we're going to bring up Earl Torgerson, we hope, someday soon. And the funny thing happened to me this morning. Yeah, I was coming down Commonwealth Avenue, and I thought I'd stop off at Braves Field for a last look to see. You know, I mean, it'll be closed down now except for a few scattered football games. And I was filled with a bit of sentiment, and I thought I'd drop by Gaffney Street and look at Braves Field. So I go in under the stand, and there isn't a soul there, see? And here's this fellow standing with a microphone, runs off out, and he's coming.
Community opticians, New England busiest, when the Atlantic Institute presents another outstanding series of baseball fan interviews.
And so I hurried over to poor Russ, and I said, for the land's sake, Sagoshin, young man, the baseball season's all over. And he said to me, well, here, he said, go on out, he said, grab these sunglasses, have fun in the sun, you look stunning. And I might mention that poor Russ was burned to a crisp, except right around his eyes, you can tell he had been shaded all summer long. He looked real great. Russ, what are you going to do now during the winter season? Put people on the 50-yard line and... so forth, or what?
During the wintertime, I'm going to try to shave my pocketbook.
That'd be
good. Yay! Yay!
All right. All right. Do we have any sound effects for the West Peabody Speedway? We'll have that. Here's a sport that's huge. Or new. Sport that's different. It's stock car racing. Wait a minute now. Hold up, you mean they're bringing in some of these stock cars from Chicago to race? Could that be it? Phew. America's newest real sensation presented for the first time at the West Peabody Speedway. Friday night. Friday night, that is. You're writing it down, can I see? F-R-I-D-A-Y. Now, see this fast-growing sport. It's so fast and furious the drivers have to wear crash helmets and be strapped to their seats. It's BM mayhem. Stock cars with hopped-up motors rounding curves at speeds that defy the laws of gravity. In the studios this afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, we have Edgar T. Gravity, who invented the law of. Edgar, would you come up, former congressman from the 15th district? Would you come up here, sir, and tell us about the law of gravity, please?
I'll be very happy to indeed. The law of gravity. Newton Now, there were several Newtons. There was West Newton, Newtonville, Newton Corner, and Newton Upper Falls, and Newton Lower Falls, and then there's Newton Highlands, and they were all Newtons.
Jimmy, just Mahorn, would you have some haze on you, please?
Well, no, I tell you.
I'm not wearing
my usual corset today.
No.
And I always have stays when I have.
No, I mean to keep your teeth in there. Running over onto my next commercial.
Well, down to the dentist. They have a new dentist down there. I just finished my work. Name of Hopalong Cavity.
Excuse me, I'm from the Federal Communications Commission. What's going on in here? Who's this character? What's your name, sir?
My
name's Goulding. I ain't doing nothing. I just stand around here.
Well,
I don't care what you're doing. What about you there, Federal?
Hey, take your arm off of me, please, will you?
Come on.
Hey, stop that now.
Well, Dr. Ordway, how did you solve that amazing crime?
Well, it was simple. The guy came up to me and he confessed. You see what I mean?
Oh, well. The next thing that we had promised to do today was the second of Ken Wilson and Bill Green's musical offerings. This next one is an original. Certainly, someone wrote it, and here it is. About that sport I was talking about, that PM mayhem with the stock cars with hopped up motors rounding curves at speeds that defy the laws of gravity. Well, where do you go to see these first stock car races Friday night at the West Peabody Speedway? You go to the West Peabody Speedway, friends. That's where they are. The West Peabody Speedway is easy to reach, just 15 miles north of Boston Common on Route 120, just off the Newburyport Turnpike at the corner of Pine and Lake Streets in West Peabody. We all know finally in the West Peabody, we're going to say. So that's where it is. The first race, 8:15 p.m. It'll cost adults $1.20, children 60 cents, including tax. So that's it. $1.20 for you big fellas, 60 cents for the kids, including a tax. Out at the West Peabody Speedway, come Friday night for the first stock car races around this section of Ron TSC. I am now ad-libbing, friend, and don't you worry. I have done it several times, so don't Don't give it a thought. Now, let me see. Just the other day I heard the fellow say, is it time for that now or time? Well, wait a minute. Before we let that go, come over here, Mary, and say hello to everybody.
Thank you, Ray. Where's Bob, please?
Why, he has a nasty type fall cold.
Oh, well, that's too bad. Maybe I could. I wonder would he be listening in, Ray?
Well, I don't really know. I don't suppose he would. Why do you ask, Mary?
Well, I thought maybe, Ray, I could give him my homespun remedy for cold. Is it in the throat, you know?
I think it is, yes, because he sounded a lot like Basil Rathbone here this morning, or yesterday morning when he was around. I think it is in his throat. Either that or in his bronchial tube.
Oh, not that. Poor young man. In his bronchial tubes, Ray.
Yes, Mary.
Isn't that a shame? Well, old young men. Well, here it is, anyway. If Bob is listening and if some friend nearby, maybe could run over with the recipe to him. What I do is use duck fat.
Hold up now, Mary. Just a moment, please. What's this duck fat you speak of?
Yeah. I cook and boil a duck. And the fat soluble will come...
Excuse me, Mary. What are you talking about? Fat soluble. For the land's sake, he has a cold. He's not hungry particularly.
Well, no, Ray. For the land's sake, I'm not talking about his being hungry. I take the fat off the top of the pot. And I put it in a sock. Now, I know that seems funny to you people listening. But it really isn't if you have a cold. You'll try anything.
Excuse me, Mary. I've come to the conclusion that the cheapest way to get rid of a cold is to buy a drugstore.
No, that is not a sensible way. Absolutely not. Now, what I like about duck fat, it goes to work in 18 ways. And two of them aren't very nice. I'll say that. Land's sake, you lose every friend you ever owned for the land's sake as you walk up and down the street with a sock full of duck fat around your neck. But that's what you do, and I suggest you sleep on it. On the duck fat, that is. And you can make your bed up cozy-like with,
Mary, did you hear what Mr. Wilson said? It's very funny. He said this is a foul recipe.
Well, Ken has hidden talents. Land sakes, he ain't no musician. Yes, for the land's sake. Well, anyway, Bob, that's what to do. Fill up your sock with duck fat and have a good time. And write to me, won't you?
Well, I think he'll be back tomorrow, Mary, really. I hope so, anyway. Thanks, Mary. Sit down. Eat all those marshmallows you want. Hey, brother, here comes Kay Arcadian. Miss Kay, go right ahead.
Just the other day, I heard a feller say, give me Mission Bell wine, because Mission Bell's fine. Pardon while I raise about the money that I save, buying Mission Bell wine, because Mission Bell's fine. Drink it better wine, enjoy it day or night. Here's the wine to tempt you, and the price is right. The price is right. The price is right.
Yes, indeed. That's Mission Bell, America's finest wine. Top quality at low, popular prices. Yes, from grape to glass, every step is in the hands of the Arcadian family. Take a tip. Try a sip. Enjoy a bottle today.
That's why it's every day you'll hear everybody say, give me Mission Bell wine, because Mission Bell fine, because Mission Bell fine, because...
Produced by K. Arcadian Incorporated, California, New York, and Chicago.
And again, I'd like to remind you that Kay Arcadian is one of the busiest girls on the West Coast, sending out all that wine all the time. Well, good old Kay. And as Bob said, she has real purple hands, too, because all the wine is kept in the Arcadian family's hands. And they sell some of it, we're happy to say. And you can buy it here in town, good old Sturdleyville. Now, let me see what else we have here. I don't believe there's anything of any importance. I was expecting a last-minute, not a last-minute communication, Bill. I was expecting a last-minute arrival of Spike Sterling, the coach of ICU, and I'm only hoping that he'll get here before we sign off. Of course, we'll know when he arrives. The band starts playing, and then he sets off.
Oh, wait, hold on.
Here, friends, I'd like to present now for the next few minutes. Spike, I know, asking you to come up here on a busy Wednesday when you should be out with the team running over your signals and so forth, and you tricky plays for Saturday. I know it's been very kind of you to come up here and to give us your time.
Okay.
So, friends, you sports lovers in the audience, here he is, Spike Sturdley, coach at Indiana Collegiate University.
Oh, that's all right.
Spike, your dynamic voice fills us with remorse for your poor, poor team. I mean,
we ain't working today. We ain't got no practice today. You see, the halfback, he run into a little difficulty. He was running around his own end, and he got all mixed up, and you know what they do.
Yeah, well, for the lady.
Did you ever try to run around your own end?
Yes, I said. Yeah. I done.
Hey, it's trouble, you know. They got trouble when they do those things.
Dr. Ordway, how did you solve it?
You take a big guy, you know. There's a big guy.
Well, it was very easy. This man came into my office one day. We want to thank the makers of Spike Sturdley for sending him up this afternoon. I sure hope they don't bother again in a hurry. Do we have any more signs coming from you? We're due for one more. Let's see, we've had the West Peabody, we've had Basil Rathbone, and we've had Mission Bell. All right, well, that makes room for another song by those elegant balladeers, Ken Wilson and Billy Green. What is it, fellas? Tell us. Okay.
This is WHDH in Boston. WHDH in Boston.